As an Intelligent Medicine listener, you know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. But vetting your sources and tracking down the exact products you need can be a hassle. That's why I'm inviting you to browse my online supplement dispensary at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. My specially curated professional-grade supplements are fulfilled via the FullScript network. FullScript is the safest and most convenient way to purchase my medical-grade supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant, and offers world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com to sign up for your free FullScript account. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today with Layla Mutin, who is our weekly contributor on Q&A with Layla, and we're here to answer your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. Hi, Layla, how are you doing?
Okay, Dr. Hoffman, how are you?
Oh, good. Okay, well, you know, this is our first podcast in the post-vaccine era.
Ah!
It's the world has changed.
Uh-huh.
It is a true game changer. We now have a vaccine.
Yes.
And so everybody is asking me, you know, the patients that I saw today, everybody needs a long dissertation on the vaccine.
Right.
And so...
The Pfizer vaccine in particular?
Moderna, Pfizer, yeah. Okay. You know, Moderna just got emergency use authorization, I think, today. Pfizer got it earlier this week, so they're both off and running. Mm-hmm. And there's actually these pictures of people getting the first shots,
you know,
healthcare workers and so on.
Uh-huh.
And so my thoughts are summated in, I'm not going to give them here. My thoughts are in an article that I wrote for this week's newsletter. So if you subscribe to the newsletter, exclusive content, you'll get it early in your inbox. And for only $49.95, free of charge.
It's free.
It just a couple days later, it'll appear on my social media and it'll appear on our website. Mm-hmm. So the advantage of the newsletter, you get it right into your mailbox. And I share some thoughts on the vaccine. In summary,
yes,
I think it's a remarkable achievement.
Yeah.
They go through that. It is, you know, in record time, they created a vaccine that seems ostensibly safe and effective. Although, the problem is, we don't know what happens when 300 million people take it.
Yes.
It's so far based on the experience of 30,000 people, which is a factor of 10,000 less than 300 million, just to add four zeros. Mm-hmm. And so it remains to be seen how effective it will be in every type of person, because we can't envision every scenario in a preliminary trial. And B, we can't find every vulnerability or susceptibility in a relatively small sample of 10,000 people. There may be some people who react badly to it. So we'll have to see.
Yeah.
It's a decision that fortunately the vast majority of Americans don't have to make right away.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's in the news every day, it's bombarding you, it's like hitting you over the head, vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. You won't have to worry about taking it unless you're a nursing home resident or a first line healthcare worker on the front lines of dealing with COVID-19, because tain't going to be available that readily.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go through priorities. You know, the sicker, older people get it first.
Yeah, the people who are most vulnerable, most at risk.
Comorbidities and advanced age, diabetes and so on. And then they're going to work their way down to the general populace, probably not sooner than maybe April or May.
Yeah.
And maybe even in the third quarter of 2021. But I think it's giving people a psychological lift.
Yes.
That the end is
near.
We can envision the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, or, you know, it's the beginning of the end, and that we can
envision a world without COVID-19, a world without, perhaps without masks, yeah. perhaps without hand washing, where we can actually get together and go see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
where I have tickets.
Mm-hmm.
January 2022.
That's what they, well, at least they're making good on the date. Yeah.
Well, it remains to be seen whether 18,500 people will gather together in the garden.
Right.
So, but, you know, it at least conceptually possible. What may be interesting is whether by the time the vaccine is available to the vast majority of the populace, maybe the pandemic will wane. Mm. And that'll be sort of a disincentive
right.
for people to say. People say, well, why bother? Because it seems to be going away anyway. That would
right.
be a good thing. But
well,
also,
it's already been kind of waning.
Well, yeah, but lots of cases, some hospitals hitting capacity in, not so much here in New York,
yeah.
but in partially because these are parts of the country that were virgin territory for the virus. They had
yeah.
had very little experience of the virus, and then it, you know, just burned through the dry underbrush, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
of people who are immunologically naive. You know, it's like a lot in Midwest, in Iowa, the Dakotas
mm-hmm.
Are reaching capacity in terms of their hospitals and lots of cases, deaths, still deaths. Although, you know, we'll get into it a little later because there's a question about the deaths.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting consequence, another consequence of COVID-19, as if it wasn't bad enough. People who are getting MRIs are getting facial burns. How?
What?
You know, you wear a paper mask, but
uh-huh.
there's a little bit of metal in that paper mask.
Oh.
So it's like, well, you know, you don't want to go into a medical facility without a mask. So you wear your mask, you go through this machine where they have very, very high intensity.
Mm-hmm.
They say take off any metal objects.
Right.
Well,
right. Okay.
You don't tend to think of a mask as having a metal, but you don't want to microwave your mask because
yeah.
it's going to snap, crackle, and pop in
sure.
the microwave because it's got a little metal strip in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most
yeah,
of them
that's
do.
That's right. That's right. That
the cloth
staple.
Masks don't. But mm-hmm. So if you're going to get an MRI, please wear a cloth mask. Wear a mask, but wear
yeah.
a cloth mask, a pure cloth mask, not a paper mask that
right.
has a little metal
yeah.
clip in it.
Yeah.
Because it will. Heat up
oh, sure.
and burn your face.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
A patient's face was burned in the outline of a mask that they wore during a 3 Tesla MRI neck scan. They issued an FDA safety alert about that. Isn't that wild?
Oh, my goodness.
So on another front,
yeah.
And this is something I was a little bit perturbed because our statistics were down on social media. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, is this shadow banning? Is this like, you know, are they throttling down our messaging on Facebook and Twitter?
Mm.
And, you know, it was down, down, down. And, you know, some of the sites, especially ones talking about vaccines, but the ones criticizing vaccines are
yes.
really getting hammered. But I also thought like, well, maybe the election is preoccupying people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that,
right.
and so I wasn't sure what was happening. Well, sure enough, election's over, and we're up 113% in terms of viewership on Facebook, in terms of our articles. So I'm very excited to report that. Plus, and this is, you heard the news already.
Yeah.
I'll share it with our listeners, is we've reached the 8 million download threshold.
Woohoo!
For our podcasts.
Yeah.
So all that time that I've spent, you know, sitting there, like pushing the button, like download, 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 download. It's worked.
You're the one doing that.
I'm the one.
You didn't hire some bots or something to
do
that?
Well, no, we have like a Macedonian bot farm.
Yes.
You know, where we.
Like that.
Yeah, yeah. To inflate our, no, we actually, it's what they call organic, which
oh,
means
yeah, yeah, yeah.
there's uh-huh. no frills, there's no,
uh-huh.
you know, it's like.
I am not a robot.
Right. It's like some social influencer I've never heard of is, you know, she has like, you know, 100 million downloads of her putting on makeup or something.
Exactly. Right,
it's like,
right, right,
but, you know, she's yeah. every, you know, teenager in America knows who she is. You know, it's
yeah.
like, I, that is a world apart from. We're not like TikTok influencers yet. We haven't achieved that escape velocity, but 8 million downloads is pretty. It's pretty good.
That's impressive.
And kudos to you because, you're part of the draw on that because you do a very valuable podcast that people really enjoy.
It's my pleasure.
Once a week. And also then we share this podcast today. So the success is attributable in large part to your input. So good stuff.
Good stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Let's get to questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com.
Well, we've got another question regarding COVID from Caroline.
Okay.
I've heard Dr. Fauci mention wearing a mask constantly, but only heard him speak once about the necessity of protecting the eyes by wearing goggles or a face shield. He was saying that the same mucosa that allows the virus to enter through the mouth and nose is also in the eyes.
Yes.
So that the eyes also need protection. Never heard him or any other expert mention the possibility of a virus entering through the eyes again.
Right.
All I hear is about wear a mask.
Okay, so this is a good point. And I asked one of my good colleagues, who's an ophthalmologist, Dr. Rudrani Banik, and she's an integrative ophthalmologist. She's very well trained in conventional ophthalmology. She does surgery and a full range of treatments. But she also has developed a real appreciation for natural interventions for eye health, which is very important. Mm-hmm. And she's become an expert on that. But I asked her, so in a recent podcast, do you think that it's transmitted via the ocular route? And she said that studies on that were not conclusive. Mm. Hypothetically, yes, because we know that with other things like the cold virus,
it's a route of infection.
If somebody sneezes or you touch the surface that has the virus and then you rub your eyes, that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And we discourage people from rubbing their eyes because that's a direct way of transmitting the virus.
Yeah.
You shake hands, you rub your eyes, that's not a good scenario. The question is, if it's aerosolized, the particles are suspended, can they go into your eyes? And they're actually, I think there's a couple of studies that suggest people wear glasses have some degree of protection against getting the virus. There's a statistically less, maybe 30% less.
It's a shield.
It's a shield. And how many times, this is kind of yucky, but how many times have you talked to somebody, you're up close and talking to them, and then you realize that there's a little spray emanating from their mouth? And
that's when I move back.
And there's a little glob on your glasses.
Oh, that's not mashed potatoes?
Okay. No, that's a little yucky.
A little, yeah.
But in the post-COVID world, everybody's wearing a mask, so there's less likely to be large particles. But maybe particles escape around the mask, or somebody wasn't wearing a mask.
Exactly.
And the particles are suspended, and you walk in, and they land on your eyeball. Could that transmit it? Nobody really knows, and I don't think they want to do that experiment. It would be a little bit like, the Tuskegee experiment, unethical experiment.
Sure.
Where they exposed black men to syphilis and then didn't treat them, to say, okay, let's do a study in an environment that's very likely to transmit coronavirus, and some people, wear eye protection, some people not.
Yeah.
I think not a good idea. So doctors who really are exposed to this, they will, in addition to wearing masks, they'll wear goggles. Some people literally wore their swim goggles because they didn't have PPEs then. So they said, well, the hospital's not offering these things. I'm going to, use my own, or go out and buy swim goggles and cover my eyes. Or shields. But the problem is you can get around the shield. I mean, things can come under the shield or over the shield,
right?
But not directly to the shield. Shields may be somewhat effective for the eyes.
I see more of those advertised lately.
Yeah,
the face shield. The thing is you're going to fog it up, so you still need to wear a mask. You can't just wear the face shield without fogging it up. You have to wear the mask to keep it from fogging up.
A lot
of
variations on the theme.
Yeah, it appears anyway.
So. The question is well taken. for, yeah. you know, the current, look, if masks were 100% effective, I don't think we'd be seeing a second wave, because I think a lot of people now are wearing masks. I don't think that everybody who gets sick was flaunting the rules.
Right. Yeah.
It masks are somewhat protective, and maybe that some of the people who acquired it, they didn't acquire it through the nasal route or the oral route. They mm-hmm. acquired it through the eye route, which nobody pays attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Caroline, thank you for that very thoughtful question. So, all right. Let's see here. This is from Stan. I looked at buying a multivitamin. It listed 25 ingredients and recommended just one pill a day.
A one-a-day multivitamin.
A one-a-day multivitamin. The pill measures 5/8 of an inch by 1/4 of an inch. Do you think there's enough of each ingredient to be effective? Isn't this a great question?
It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah, exactly.
It's like everything you need.
Everything you need is right, in this right, little pill. Right. Well, what do you mean? You can't fit all of that.
Well, yeah. The multivitamins that we prescribe, they're... I almost never prescribe just one a day. I might, for right. like a very sensitive person with a lot of GI distress, I might say, well, look, the recommendation is to take 4 of these a day, but just take one.
Just take one. Yeah. Try to work up to 2.
Yeah. See two, how you feel. 2 would be, I personally take 1 twice daily because I'm taking so many other things.
Sure. You're getting overlap. No doubt.
So I think that the multis are a little bit of an insurance policy, mm-hmm. but you have to build on them. So they generally don't mm-hmm. have astronomical amounts of vitamin D or adequate amounts of magnesium.
Yeah.
Magnesium takes up a lot of space, so generally the magnesium is kind of skimpy. Calcium, same thing, skimpy, you know, in a multi, where you don't need very much to achieve adequacy is zinc and selenium.
Right.
You might get up to that. B vitamins, similarly, you know.
They take up some space, mm. all the B vitamins, right?
Well, they yeah. take up less space than the heavy mm-hmm. minerals like calcium and magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the answer is,
yeah.
you're going to get some degree of protection. It's a little bit of an insurance policy. If you want really targeted, personalized nutrition, get evaluated, you know, in terms of what your personal needs are based on your situation.
Your situation, your deficiencies.
Medications you may be taking, your genetics, mm-hmm. which we sometimes can evaluate on some people.
Right.
These tests are becoming more common. And then blood tests or urine tests, you know, to ascertain whether there's adequacy of supplements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Stan, thank you for that question. Wow.
Yeah.
One a day.
I mean, it really gets to the issue of personalized nutrition, which is our credo here, which is not a one-size-fits-all. And so the concept of multivitamins is a little bit flawed. It's sort of like one-size-fits-all. It's like we're going to give you everything you need.
Right. Yeah. This comes from Mike. I listened to your podcast on diverticulitis, and I have a question. I'm a 44-year-old healthy male who has had 4 cases of acute diverticulitis.
Poor guy. Such a young age, he's developed a degenerative intestinal condition.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 acute cases over the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in the Change the Vicious Cycle book. That's Breaking the Vicious Cycle
right,
book.
Right, okay.
Michael, yeah.
Yeah.
After my first attack 3 years ago, I went fully plant-based. Now, plant-based is the new phrase for vegetarian, vegan, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
Everybody's just calling it plant-based. Mm-hmm. I am completely plant-based other than eggs once or twice a week. I feel this way of eating is best because of extensive family history of heart disease. I also feel
but
great eating this way.
Misguided.
That is misguided.
Yeah. But, you know, let me comment. Is a plant-based diet that's very high in fiber.
Yeah.
Might be beneficial for prevention of diverticulosis and diverticulitis.
Exactly.
But when you have it, sometimes all that fiber can be counterproductive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Could be more abrasive.
Roughage.
Than anything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Will this diet, the Breaking the Vicious Cycle diet, which is specific carbohydrate
which is
diet,
not plant-based.
Yeah,
which is
not plant-based.
A lot of animal protein.
Yeah. Will this diet be possible without eating meat? I looked briefly in some of my major source of protein.
Why would you want to do that?
Exactly, because he feels better eating this way because he's afraid of the cholesterol and his family history of heart disease. Mm. Michael, you're operating from 30 years ago.
Let me just disabuse you of that.
Yeah. Norm of ways to
eat. This is a theme. I just did a podcast with Gary Taubes.
Oh, yeah.
Who is the
science writer.
And you know, he's written wonderful books, and he wrote a new book called The Keto Cure. And, you know, I said, well, what about, what do you say when people come at you and say, yeah, but that keto diet, it's like a saturated fat, and yes, you lose weight, but you're eating all that saturated fat and cholesterol and animal protein.
And you're full and happy.
Right.
And you're full and satisfied.
So he knows that's like a big pushback against the keto diet. And, you know,
it's the saturated fat phobia that hasn't quite gone away.
Yep.
It's he patiently take a long explained time to snuff out.
It. And it, even the American Heart Association still says, you know, low fat dairy and minimize your, you know, your red meat and make sure you don't have butter but use, you know, vegetable oil. And, you know, it's like bad science. It just took a wrong turn.
Exactly, exactly. So Michael goes on to say, I look briefly at some of my major sources of protein. They're from tofu and other fake meats.
Right.
And those, of course, are illegal, we know, on the specific carbohydrate diet because they're soy-based.
And very hard to digest.
Exactly. I do try to limit the fake meats because I realize they're not really healthy either, but I like them because of the cholesterol factor.
Right, God.
No. You've Michael.
Done so much damage to people.
Michael, I want to say you need to follow the science.
Right.
Please.
Well, unfortunately, the science is not settled science. It's controversial science because, well, here's an interesting point from Gary Taubes' book is people really benefit from like the Ornish diet or, you know, some of these quasi-vegan diets.
But when they have severe plaque.
Right.
We see the most regression in those people.
But all those diets...
Yeah.
Agree that you should not have any refined flour. You should not have any sugar.
Oh, the sugar.
Right.
Trans fats.
Yeah. So they're not low carb, but they do eliminate the most egregious carbs.
Yeah.
So they have something in common with low carb diets.
Right. Right. They get rid of the dangerous food.
Yeah.
So
processed food.
Right. Yeah. Michael, here's the thing. If you're dining on tofu all the time and everything, that's not a great idea. And so much soy is GMO. No, this doesn't follow the specific carbohydrate diet. But let us tell you, let us inform you that any patient we've had with diverticulitis, we've had a handful, 90% of them, they had no more diverticulitis attacks unless they come off the diet.
I know. I'm thinking of Jay in particular.
Yes.
And he's actually a friend. And then he said, I need some advice because, you know, he says they want to keep chopping out my intestine because, you know, he had an operation and they said it was going to be fine. And it wasn't fine afterwards. And then he says, well, you know, they're thinking of doing another operation, but there's not, you know, they can't keep chopping away indefinitely. I said, look, you got to go on this specific carbohydrate diet. He is remarkably better. He look, he's a bon vivant. He likes to go to restaurants, likes to eat out.
Yeah.
His GI tract tells him when he deviates too much.
Exactly, exactly. So it's that kind of a thing. Michael, you've had 4 acute cases of diverticulitis in 3 years. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So a colon resection is on the horizon somewhere.
Yep, that's eventually what they want
to
do.
And I'm sure your doctors have talked to you about it. I have seen, without fail, I think the specific carbohydrate diet may be the most therapeutic medical nutrition therapy I've ever administered in my career.
Amazing.
And the close runner-up there is a very low-carb diet.
Right.
But I've seen amazing things with specific carbohydrate diet for diverticulitis.
And by the way, it allows carbohydrates.
It does.
It's not extremely, it's bereft of carbohydrates.
You can have lots of fruits and even juice, as long as
but
it's real
right
juice.
But the right kinds. Yeah.
But the right kinds, exactly, exactly. So it would very much be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you need those, your amino acids, the building blocks of protein for not just repair.
Right.
And all of that, of the GI tract. We also need it for immunity, for
brain
health.
Yeah,
all of that
for
kind
mood.
Of thing.
You know,
exactly.
There's some studies of you know, vegan women, much higher incidence of anxiety and depression.
Yes.
One might say that maybe that's a self-selected group. More conscientious women tend to decide to become vegan, and they're already predisposed to, shall we say, sensitivity, emotional ability.
Disordered eating.
Yeah, but... there is a physiologic basis for mood disorders resulting from not enough fat, not enough cholesterol, and not enough protein.
And we need cholesterol for our brains.
Yeah.
Framingham Heart Study, the famous study, has shown that a total cholesterol of less than 200 sets you up for your recall isn't as great. You may be a little more prone to depression. I'm not talking about
and
the very low.
And statistically death.
Yeah.
And statistically death.
Yeah. Mood disorders, that kind of a thing.
See somebody with a cholesterol of 120 and I go, uh-oh.
That's a Lipitor cholesterol.
Yeah.
I always see somebody on Lipitor with a cholesterol of 127. When
I was macrobiotic, my cholesterol was like 126.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
When you were macrobiotic, were you in a pleasant mood?
I was depressed, but I was also pre-med and, anxiety-ridden. So I was studying all the time. Uh-huh. I had no social life.
Right. Well, that's a reason to be depressed. Okay.
I missed the whole great music scene of the 1980s. And, it's like in the 1990s, I discovered there was a group called Duran Duran.
Oh, my God. You mean you missed New Wave?
I missed New Wave, yeah. I missed grunge.
Grunge? Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was like Nirvana. It's like, oh, wow,
You didn't study with the radio on then?
No.
No, you can't. I actually couldn't either. So Michael, you need a consult and you need to reevaluate your decision on a very plant-based diet and all that soy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's only 44.
Wish it weren't so, but
I know. Yeah.
Okay, so this good point at which to pause because time flies when we're having fun.
Oh.
We're about halfway into it, and give us a foretaste of what we're going to talk about in part two.
Should a 24-year-old woman take Ocrevus for multiple sclerosis?
New drug.
Yeah.
One of those MS drugs. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman with our weekly Q&A with Layla. You can reach us with questions. radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions that we'll take up in future weeks. And we'll be back with more of today's podcast.